Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, strangulation, mutilation, dismemberment, and necrophilia.
We bring you raw, unfiltered courtroom audio from the trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Fair to say that this, the facts with regards to this case or the circumstances were quite unusual. Based on your training and experience. Is that fair?
Could you describe what you mean by unusual?
You don't often see situations where there are body parts all over, correct?
I think my line of work is unfortunately very different from others. Fragmentation of people is very common. Motor vehicle accidents, train accidents, people who have jumped from tall buildings or been hit by a subway train. That's not unusual for me. It's something that I see quite often.
How about a severed head in a bucket and body parts in different locations? Is that unusual for you?
I would say it's not a common occurrence. That's correct.
It's different, correct?
Correct.
And would you agree that those particular facts make it a little bit more challenging when you have to do your autopsy and your testing and your swabs and your analysis? Is that fair?
In what sense, sir?
In the sense that you essentially have to try to understand the global picture. Is that fair?
That's correct.
And so on this particular date, February 23rd of 2022, you went to the Stony Brook Lane property, to the house, and you went inside?
That is correct.
You conferred with several detectives, correct?
That is correct.
Ms. Schwab was there, is that fair?
That is correct.
And you found human remains in different locations, correct?
That is correct.
You found a head and a penis and testicles in a black bucket, correct?
That is correct, at the base of the stairs.
And then you found some other body parts in a duffel bag, they call it a Jimmy Choo bag, on a entertainment center, correct?
I believe so, yes. I believe that was the dark blue bag on the dresser. I'm not very familiar with bags, unfortunately, but yes, I can say color at least, yes.
Okay, sure. inside that blue bag, as you say, there were lots of plastic shopping bags in there, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Was it hard or difficult to understand what you were actually looking at when you were removing these items from the bag due to having plastic bags inside?
I would say no. I'm fairly comfortable with plastic bags. They're often seen at scenes. And then the recovery of the individual pieces, identifying them, of course, is something that I do fairly regularly. So I was able to start saying, okay, this is clearly a piece of this, this is clearly a piece of that. As we began to gather the inventory, that becomes a very important part of determining if the entire body is present or whether there might be other pieces at another location or destroyed.
As you moved along in the basement of 829 Stony Brook Lane, you moved towards a pink and black Under Armour backpack, correct?
That is correct.
And there were more human remains in there, correct?
That is correct.
And did you know that these remains belonged to one person, or did you have a concern that, you know, did you have any concerns about that?
Very much. My goal was to determine whether or not there might be more than one person present. So in other words, if I found, for example, two patellas from the left side, or if I found two left arms, then I would be concerned that there might be more than one decedent present.
And then as you went through the basement, did the detectives follow you? Did you take the lead, or how did that kind of work?
Typically what's done is the law enforcement has the jurisdiction or the investigation of the scene or the surrounding circumstances. But the body, the investigation of the body and the examination of the body falls under the jurisdiction of the medical examiner. So in this case, also because our goal is to try to prevent contamination and preserve as much evidence as possible, we took the lead, where we are wearing Tyvek suits and gloves and masks and trying to collect things in as clean and preserved a way as possible. So we took the lead on that, and law enforcement remained in the background.
This wasn't a perfect situation as far as the basement was concerned, because there was lots of clutter down there. Is that fair?
That's correct, yes.
There's like a table, Pac-Man machine, all kinds of other items, correct?
That is correct.
You recall seeing three mattresses stacked on each other?
Yes, I do.
And then there was another container. Was it such that it was a blue tote?
Yes, there was. I believe it was towards the head of the bed.
And there were human remains in the blue tote, correct?
That is correct.
And on top of the tote, there was blankets or clothing items. Is that fair?
I believe there were, yes.
So fair to say that some of these items that you were attempting to collect may have been tampered with or tainted in some way because of other items being put on top or plastic bags being utilized?
In what way, sir?
If you could just answer my question with due respect.
I'm trying, if my interpretation of tainted with means that DNA evidence could have been lost potentially, or DNA evidence could have been contaminated, I would say that certainly any object that would have come in contact with the remains could potentially transfer or wipe away DNA evidence. So, for example, if the plastic bags had other people's DNA on it, that can be transferred onto the skin surface or body surfaces. If the tote bag had other people's DNA on it, that also can be transferred onto the body surfaces of what's been placed in there. If the bedding or bed sheets also had other people's DNA on it, that could be, or hair samples or fingernail clippings, that also could be transferred onto the body surfaces. So if I understand the question correctly, I think that that's about as good an answer as I can give.
You answered it. I appreciate that.
Perfect.
Did you see evidence of drug usage down in the basement on Stony Brook Lane?
Yes, I did.
Did you see a meth pipe down there and a gem baggie with crystal-like substance?
I believe I saw a glass pipe. I think I recall it was white in color. And then there was, I believe, a small green baggie with a powdery crystalline substance inside.
Did you see any evidence of drugs or drug substances on the decedent's mouth or face?
I did not.
Did you swab for that?
The face was swabbed, yes.
With regards to your report, Did you indicate that the deceased had possible acute intoxication due to the combined effects of methamphetamine, amphetamine, cocaine, and marijuana?
That is correct.
From your analysis and assessment and examination of the body, did you in any way opine or conclude that drugs had anything to do with the death of Mr. Therrien?
It is my medical opinion that the drugs did not have anything to do with the death of Mr. Therrien.
Have you had cases where people overdose on methamphetamine?
Yes, I have.
Resulting in death?
Yes, I have.
How do you know that that didn't happen in this particular case?
I know that that did not happen in this particular case because of the extent of hemorrhaging that's present within the decedent's neck and head. In other words, these are antemortem injuries when he still had circulation. In other words, he was still able to bleed. So as a result, I have bruising and contusions of the neck muscles. I have deep hemorrhages of the soft tissues all the way down to the cervical spine. And I have numerous blown hemorrhages of the eyes and oral mucosa and facial skin. To have these, you have to have circulation. You have to have blood pressure. Without it, you'll not get these injuries. You can strangle or stab or punch or hit a body, a dead body, as much as you want. But without circulation and without that blood pressure, you're not going to get this kind of hemorrhage.
Do you know if drugs like such as methamphetamine could have caused the protuberance of the tongue in the deceased?
Methamphetamine causing protuberance of the tongue?
Yes.
It's not been my experience that it causes that.
When you received the remains in the body bags, was there anything unusual with the manner or way you received the items at the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office? Did you have any concerns with what you received?
If I understand the question correctly, did I have any concerns about the manner in which the remains were brought to me or delivered to me?
Yes.
I did not.
Okay. How did you get those items? They obviously were packaged up at the Stony Brook Lane property, correct?
That is correct. I participated in the packaging.
And then can you take me from there, how they arrived at the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office?
Of course.
Thank you.
Again, as the bodies were packaged up, the security seal was placed on the bags to show that the body bags are intact and undisturbed. At that point, we contact the driver. The driver from our office comes up to Brown County, collects the remains, then places them into their van. The van is refrigerated, which allows for as best preservation of the remains as we can, and then the body is taken back to Dane County. At that point, the body is checked in to our secured cooler by one of our investigators, and then the body is kept in that secured cooler until such time that we can perform the autopsy examination, which in this case was the 25th.
Thank you. Have you been involved in cases where it's a situation where it's death by asphyxiation, where people engage in choking kind of behaviors?
If I understand the question correctly, yes, I have had cases where people have died from asphyxiation due to choking or strangulation as a mechanism, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you, nothing further.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
No redirect, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, sir. You can step down.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, everyone.
State's next witness.
Yes, Your Honor. State calls Deputy Price.
Thank you.
Okay, sir, if you want to just step up right over here, and then before you have a seat, if you could turn and face her, raise your right hand, she'll place you under oath.
Solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
Deputy Bryce Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S.
Okay, then Mr. Saunders, the witness is yours.
All right, can you tell us how you're employed?
I'm employed as a patrol deputy with the Brown County Sheriff's Office.
And how long have you been employed in that capacity with the Brown County Sheriff's
Approximately
Office?
Approximately 2.5 years.
And is that the totality of your law enforcement experience?
I worked for approximately 1.5 years in the village of Black Creek as a police officer.
But then for the last 2.5 years with the sheriff's office?
Correct.
And as a patrol deputy, do you sometimes get called out to respond to incident locations in the county of Brown?
Yes.
And you also have occasion to assist other jurisdictions with their own cases?
Correct, yes.
Okay. I want to ask you, Deputy, then, about February 23rd of 2022. Do you recall if you were on duty on that day?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And were you dispatched to a residence on Eastman Avenue on that day?
Yes, I was.
And what was the reason you were dispatched to that location?
So deputies were requested to assist the Green Bay Police Department in locating a vehicle that was involved with what was dispatched as a suspicious situation. That they asked, requested that we look for a gold town and country van.
And do you recall approximately what time that would that call would have come in to your department?
I was dispatched at roughly 4:15 a.m.
And this is on February 23rd?
Correct.
And was there information provided that this van may be located at that Eastman address?
It was my understanding that a possible suspect had been driving the vehicle and staying at that residence.
Okay. And did you ultimately arrive at 2523 Eastman Avenue?
Yes.
And is that in the city of Green Bay?
Yes, it is.
And did you locate that reported gold van in the vicinity of that address?
Yes, it was located on the north side of the building. Yes, this is a picture of the gold Chrysler Town and Country minivan.
And the depiction in Exhibit 80, does that appear to be consistent with the scene around the Eastman Avenue address that you encountered?
Yes, it does.
Sorry, on February 23rd?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And that general layout of where the vehicles were positioned and everything, that's consistent with how you first encountered the scene?
That is correct.
Okay. I'd move Exhibit 80.
Any objection?
No objection.
80 is received.
I'd ask permission to publish as well.
No objection.
That'll be published to the jury.
Okay, then, Deputy, it's behind you, but also there's a screen in front of you if that's easier. So are we looking at Exhibit 80 now presently on the screen?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So when you arrived at this Eastman address, where are you positioned?
I was positioned... The van's facing south. I was positioned on to the northeast of the van.
Okay. And when you arrived, you mentioned you were dispatched at 4:15. Do you recall when you would have gotten to this address?
Approximately 4:20, 4:25, probably 5 to 10 minutes to respond.
And from that time, did you maintain a sort of visual on the vehicle?
Yes, once the vehicle is located.
Did you observe whether the van was occupied or unoccupied at that point?
It appeared unoccupied.
Okay. Did you see during the time you were there, any other person walked to or from that vehicle?
No, I did not.
And then how long were you on scene for?
I'm unsure exactly how long I was on scene, maybe 10, 15 minutes.
And when would you have left?
I was relieved by an officer from the Green Bay Police Department.
So you were assisting, I guess, Green Bay, and then once they got there, you sort of left it to them.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, sir. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Cross-examination, Mr. Freilich.
Deputy Haynes, what time were you relieved by the Green Bay police officer?
I would guess approximately 5 a.m. I do not know the exact time.
Okay. And you were called to go right to the Eastman Avenue apartment complex?
That is correct.
And it's a larger apartment complex where people live, correct?
Correct.
And when you got there on February 23rd of 2022, it was fairly dark outside, correct?
Yes.
And there's snow on the ground, right?
Correct.
And were you told which vehicle to look for?
Yes, we were given the description as well as the license plate for the vehicle.
Did you arrive there by yourself?
No, myself along with two other deputies and our patrol sergeant arrived on scene.
Okay. Did you get there first?
I arrived first, I believe.
Okay.
We all arrived roughly at the same time.
All right. You took your own squad car?
Correct.
When you got out, then what did you do? Did you walk?
I did not get out of my patrol vehicle. I did not approach the vehicle.
Okay. You just parked behind it?
I parked to the northeast of the vehicle, not directly behind the van.
Okay. You didn't get out and walk around the perimeter of the van, is that fair?
That is correct. I did not do that.
And that picture that you saw, the back of that Town and Country minivan, it had all snow on the back window, right?
Correct.
And there was a car to the left and a car to the right of it, correct?
Yes.
And would you say that these vehicles were kind of parked fairly close to each other?
Yes.
When you were sitting in your squad car, could you see inside of the Town and Country minivan?
I could see the side windows. I could not tell if anyone was in the vehicle or not.
Were the windows tinted?
It was dark. I can't tell you if they were tinted any regularly or not.
Okay. Did you see any person, did you put any police tape out there?
I did not.
When the other Green Bay police officer arrived, then you just left?
Correct.
Did you see anybody walking around the van or in front of the van while you were there?
No.
And the entire time that you were there, you were sitting in your squad?
Correct.
And you didn't see anybody come in or out of that apartment complex?
No, I did not.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing further.
Any redirect?
No, thank you.
Thank you. You can step down. Next witness.
State calls Officer Garth Russell.
Okay, sir, if you want to step up here, and then before you have a seat, if you can turn and face her, raise your right hand, she'll place you under oath. And then I believe the media is aware of the situation with the video, correct? Got it.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God.
I swear.
Have a seat and state your name for the record.
Can you tell us how you're employed?
I'm a police officer with the City of Green Bay.
All right, and how long have you been employed as a police officer?
Since October of 2016.
And prior to that time, do you have other law enforcement experience?
Yes, I was a military policeman in the United States Army.
Okay. For about how long?
For approximately 2 years.
Okay. And then since 2016, you've been employed with the Green Bay Police Department?
Yes.
I want to ask you about February 23rd of 2022. Were you working as a police officer with the Green Bay Police Department on that day?
Yes, I was.
And do you recall being dispatched to a residence on Eastman Avenue on that day?
Yes.
And to where were you dispatched on Eastman Avenue?
I believe the address was 2353 Eastman Avenue.
Is that a house? Is that an apartment building? Is that a duplex? Can you describe that?
It is an apartment building.
And why were you dispatched to that residence on Eastman?
I was dispatched to that residence. I was asked by Sergeant Bresser, who was the supervisor on shift, to first relieve the deputies on scene there because they were on scene, I guess, waiting on an individual to arrive. And I was also tasked with assisting in the locating of a gold Chrysler van and a person associated with that van and that address.
So prior to your arrival, you were informed that sheriff's deputies had already located the vehicle?
I believe the sheriff's deputies were on scene. I don't remember if they already located the vehicle or not.
But you were told to go to that area?
Yes.
All right. And when you got there, what do you observe?
When I got there, I subsequently walked into the parking lot with me and a few other officers, and we were told to look for this van, and then we were told to see if there was anything strange happening with the van or anything. So we walked the parking lot, saw the van, and then we went from there.
The van that you reported seeing, is that the same gold minivan that you were kind of looking for?
Yes.
All right. You mentioned you were sort of walking around the van area. What happens next?
So while walking around the van, the marker lights on the van blinked twice, indicating that somebody was manipulating the keyless entry system into the van. Then once that happened, I think approximately 10 seconds later, someone came out of the apartment complex.
And the person that came out of the apartment complex, did you have contact with that person?
Yes, I did.
And did you ultimately identify that person?
Yes, I did.
Who did you identify her as?
I identified her as Taylor Shabusiness.
The person who you had contact with on February 23rd as they exited the apartment complex, do you see him or her in court today?
Yes, I do.
Could you please point out what they're wearing and where they're sitting for us?
She's sitting to my right. She's wearing a black, what appears to be a thin jacket and a dark blue dress with a blue and white floral pattern.
I'd ask the record reflect the witness identified the defendant.
It will so reflect.
No objection.
What happened when you observed Ms. Shabusiness then?
When we observed Ms. Shabusiness, I made contact with her. I subsequently placed her in handcuffs and noticed what appeared to be dried blood on her sweatshirt, the front and the back.
Did you make any note of any potential evidence on her hands?
Yes, I also saw what appeared to be smeared blood on both her hands.
During this time, you were working as a patrol officer?
Yes, I was.
And were you utilizing any body-worn camera on that day?
Yes, I was.
And was it operational in your belief?
Yes, it was.
When a particular incident or an arrest is made, is there a way for you to sort of save that body camera footage to a system?
Yes.
Does that allow you the chance to then review that at a later date?
Yes.
And then do you enter that into your department system?
Yes.
Have you also had the chance to review portions of your body camera footage prior to testifying today?
Yes, I did.
Would you recognize it if you were to see it here in court?
Yes.
Judge, I'd ask then to play approximately 4 minutes from Exhibit 81.
The objection, Mr.
No.
Frelick?
No.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you.
I think we'll dim the lights. Hitting play at 0 minutes, 0 seconds.
Is this blood? Does this look like blood to you? Or am I just tripping? Bloody footprint? You see this right here?
Could possibly be blood.
No footprints on the path.
Hmm. Hey, who did that?
Hi.
Hi, Taylor, how's it going? Officer Russell with the Green Bay Police Department. Just make sure you ain't got nothing on you here. With Taylor.
Contact
Taylor. Taylor, you have a warrant for your arrest. Just put your hands behind your back, please.
Anybody else in your apartment?
You got blood on your hands here, too.
No, on your hands.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna have to.
What apartment is here?
What apartment are you in?
Do you have an L3 come up?
He cuts me, get up here.
On the double.
Which apartment?
One, there's what they came back to.
Right here.
Okay.
Come here.
Come here. Yeah, go. Guys, Harvey, get in here now. Watch this window right here. Watch this window right here. Gun. Go in here. Come to the back of the apartment. That's where we are. You, come over here. Two more will be fine if 84 is here.
Hands up!
You have contact with the mail.
Hands up! Walk out towards me!
Have a seat.
All the traffic. On me. Get out of the ground.
Who else is in the apartment? Be straight up.
Tomes.
Who else? Just Tomes? Is he armed? Nobody's armed?
Nobody's armed.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Green Bay Police! Everybody's in here! Announce yourself now!
Go ahead. Negative, we got enough here.
Hands up.
And for the record, 4 minutes of that exhibit, actually the entirety of that exhibit, was played into the record. Officer, having reviewed that video, do you recognize the video that was depicted?
Yes.
Was that consistent with the body camera worn footage that you were wearing on February 23rd?
Yes.
I'd move Exhibit 81.
Any objection?
No.
Received. So I want to ask just a few questions then, Officer. There was an earlier part in the clip where you had noted some area of suspected blood. Is that right?
That's right.
And what do you recall observing?
It looked like a couple of drops of blood in front of the vehicle, along with a footprint that was within or that encompassed one of the drops.
Okay. And I guess was that pointed out to other officers who were on scene?
Yes.
You mentioned then the lights of the vehicle were activated and sort of flashed, is that right?
Yes.
And then about 10 seconds later, Mr. Business exited the apartment?
Yes.
At the end of the video, where were you walking Misha Business to?
I was walking her to my patrol car.
And was she, I guess, put in the back of the squad car?
Yes, she was.
Was there any like further questioning or anything done at that point?
The only question I asked Misha Business was if she knew why we were there.
Okay. And then did you ultimately just transport her then to the Green Bay Police Department?
Yes.
When you got to the Green Bay Police Department, what further steps did you take?
We placed her in interview room 3, I believe, where I had Officer Kenny assist me with taking photographs of what looked like smeared blood on her hands and on her clothing. I also had her remove the sweatshirt that had what appeared to be blood on it, as well as her socks and her shoes.
And then was another officer requested to assist with the further removal of some clothing?
I believe after I left the room, there was another officer that might have been asked to assist with the removal of some additional clothing so that Ms. Shabizis could get temporary clothing, because we wanted all her clothes as evidence.
The clothing items that you took, did those stay within your custody and control?
Yes.
And did you subsequently enter them into evidence at the Green Bay Police Department?
I did.
I guess in totality, on February 23rd, in your interactions with Ms. Shabizis, did you ask sometimes some questions of her?
I didn't ask questions of her. I more like commands like, hey, please remove your jacket. Please remove your hat. Let me get your shoes. Sit here. Just commands, not really questions.
The commands that your request that you were giving Ms. Shabizis, was she in that time following those?
Yes, she was.
Was she in some instances responding appropriately?
Yes, she was.
In the context of your questions and commands?
Yes, she was.
For instance, did you ask, you know, if there was anyone else in the residence at that point?
I did ask her.
Did she provide a response?
She did.
And was there a person located in the apartment?
Yes, there was.
Thank you, Officer. I have nothing further.
Cross-examination, Mr. Freilich.
Thank you. Officer Russell, good morning.
Good morning.
So you were asked to go directly to 2353 Eastman Avenue on February 23rd of 2022, correct?
Yes.
Who asked you to go over there?
I was dispatcher, and Sergeant Brester also instructed me to go there.
Sergeant Brester?
Yes.
Okay, did you go by yourself?
Several other officers were sent to the location.
And what was the purpose of you going over there?
The purpose of me going over there was to relieve deputies that were on scene, along with assist with the overall incident.
Were you going over there to look at a vehicle or talk to people or what, do you know?
I was tasked, me and other officers were tasked with locating a person who was last seen with the victim, as well as looking at the vehicle as I described earlier.
Okay. So you were asked to go and see if you could make contact with Taylor Shabizis?
Correct.
Have you been involved in death scene or homicide scene investigations prior to this particular situation?
Yes.
How many?
Death scenes, I can't recall a few, and at least one other homicide scene that I can recall.
Okay. And so on this particular date, you drove over there and you parked your SUV, correct?
That's correct.
And then you walked up, correct?
Yep.
And it was dark and there was a lot of snow on the ground. Is that fair?
It was dark. There was snow on the ground. The apartment buildings provided light to the parking lot, though.
Was it kind of a glared look outside that apartment complex?
Wouldn't necessarily say a glared look. It was dark, snow on the ground. The lighting from the apartment complex was adequate enough to illuminate the parking lot.
Okay. And is it fair that there are several vehicles all parked in front of the building at 2353 Eastman Avenue?
That is correct.
And did you have a license plate as you walked up?
Yes.
Okay. And on that video, was that you that was shining the light, the flashlight?
Yes.
You found this gold minivan, correct?
I'm sorry?
You found the gold minivan?
I believe before when we, as we were walking up, the minivan might have been found already.
Okay. You walked around the minivan, correct?
Yes.
The vehicles that were on either side of the minivan were parked fairly close, so there wasn't a lot of room. Is that fair?
There was adequate room for people to get between the vehicles, the minivan and the vehicles parked on either side.
Okay. You walked on the driver's side of the minivan, correct?
I did.
Then you walked around the front of it?
I did.
At some point then, you heard a keyless entry system or some kind of beep?
I didn't hear any beeps. What I saw was a flashing of the parking lights on the vehicle, indicating that somebody might have manipulated a keyless entry system to the vehicle.
Okay. And how many officers were there at the time that you were there?
It was myself, Officer Fisher, along with Officer Whitman, and then Lieutenant Buckman was on the scene somewhere.
And then you, correct?
Yes.
So four?
I believe other officers arrived while we were on scene as well.
Okay. And at some point, you made contact with Taylor Shabizis on the step outside the door, correct?
I did.
She was under the overhang, is that correct?
She came out of the common entrance for the apartment complex.
And you asked what her name was, correct?
I introduced myself to her and told her, so I introduced myself to her, if memory serves me correctly. I already knew who she was based on a records check while driving to the scene, looking at her mugshots via police records, which are accurate and reliable as they're kept in the ordinary course of business. I knew what she looked like.
Okay. And are you the one that handcuffed her?
I was.
And when you had contact with her, did you find her to be under the influence of drugs?
No.
Did you ask her if she was using drugs that night?
I did not.
You didn't ask anything about drugs at all, correct?
I did not.
Did she seem off as far as maybe being tired or just acting odd?
She did not.
What about her eyes? Did her eyes seem to be closed or like slits?
She seemed normal to me.
Okay. So then she was cooperative with you, correct?
She was.
When you handcuffed her, did you notice that she had some cuts on her thumbs or on her fingers?
I did not at that time. I did, however, notice a cut on her finger while we were taking pictures of her at a later time at the police department.
Okay, after you got to the Green Bay Police Department, correct?
Yes.
You were working with Officer Kenny then at that time, and you were having him take pictures with his phone, correct?
He used my department-issued phone to take the pictures.
Okay. Ultimately, you found out that she went to St. Vincent's Hospital to get some medical care for the lacerations on her fingers, on her thumbs, correct?
I did not know that she went to St. Vincent's to get any medical care.
Okay. Find any knives on her?
I remember retrieving some items from her person. I don't remember if there was a knife there or not.
Any
when
guns?
I searched her incident to arrest, I don't remember if she had a knife on her or not.
Okay. Any guns on her? Any guns?
No.
Okay. At some point then, after she was handcuffed, you had some safety concerns, correct?
Yes.
And other officers did as well?
Yes, other officers had safety concerns inside the apartment.
Okay. And so they unholstered their service revolvers, correct?
Sir, duty weapons.
Duty weapons. And then they directed their attention to the hallway of apartment one, correct?
They directed their attention to an apartment that was on the lower level inside that common entrance area.
And that was Taylor Shabizis' apartment, apartment one?
I am not sure who the apartment is leased to. I just know that she was associated to that apartment per dispatch.
And the other officers were directing their attention to Scott Tolmes from apartment one, correct?
I'm sorry?
The other officers were directing their attention to a person by Scott, by the name of Scott Tolmes in apartment one. Is that fair?
Yes, they were directing their attention to a male inside the apartment.
And he was ordered to the ground at gunpoint, correct?
I remember them ordering him to come out. I don't remember whether he was on the ground at gunpoint or not. My attention was on Ms. Shabizis at the time.
And you had Ms. Shabizis come in and basically stand on the steps and ultimately sit down on the steps, correct? You gave her those commands?
I did.
And there was a wall blocking the stairs and the hallway. Is that fair?
So the stairway was to the right of the hallway, and there was a short wall. I had her sit on the steps, and you can partially see outside in the hallway by where I was at, but I couldn't see what was going on by the apartment.
Okay. And then at some point then after Mr. Tolmes was secured, then you walked Ms. Shabizis to your cruiser, your SUV, correct?
Yes.
And you had her take a seat in the back seat, correct?
I did.
And then you asked her, do you know why we're here, correct?
Yes.
You rolled the window down or something, correct?
I may have rolled the window down.
And did she say a warrant? Yeah, a warrant? Or words to that effect?
Yes.
Okay. And then you rolled the window up, and then you transported her over to the Green Bay Police Department. Is that fair?
I did transport her to the Green Bay Police Department.
That gold minivan that you looked at, that belonged to Scott Tolmes, correct?
I don't know who the minivan belonged to.
Okay, nothing further. Thank you.
Any redirect, Mr. Saunders?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, sir. You can step up. State's next witness.
Lieutenant Buckman.
If you could just step up right over here, sir, and before you have a seat, if you can turn and face her and raise your right hand, she'll place you under oath.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
Name is Lieutenant Tom Buckman, B-U-C-H-M-A-N-N.
Okay, and Mr. Lizay, the witness is yours.
Lieutenant Buckman, can you state how you are employed?
I'm a lieutenant for the Green Bay Police Department.
And how long have you been with the Green Bay Police Department?
I've been with the Green Bay Police Department since 2009, but I've been in law enforcement with two other agencies since 1996.
And you indicated that your current position is lieutenant. How long have you been a lieutenant?
Since 2013.
And prior to your practical law enforcement experience, do you have any education and training to be a law enforcement officer?
Yes. I graduated from Loyola University in Chicago with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and then I attended the Illinois State Police Academy, and then the equivalency test over in Wisconsin to transfer my previous certification over to Wisconsin, and then ongoing training throughout the years.
Were you working as a lieutenant for the Green Bay Police Department on February 23rd of 2022?
Yes.
And were you called in to assist with an ongoing homicide investigation in the early morning hours of that date?
Yes.
What was your role upon initial call-in or response?
I was called in to assist on the road because the officers and supervisors were tied up with the investigation. When I arrived, I spoke with Lieutenant Sobiak, who was sitting on the shift commander's desk. He informed me that...
Objection here, Sarah.
I'm merely trying to have him kind of set the table for what he was being asked to do. I don't need a specific answer to that question, though.
All right. Question's withdrawn. Go ahead.
After speaking with Lieutenant Sobiak, what did you do?
I went out to the 2300 block of Eastman Avenue. I was informed that there was a gold minivan at that location that was associated with the defendant in the case.
Were you aware who the registered owner of that particular minivan was?
Yes.
And who was that?
Last name was Thomes.
And you indicated you were informed that that van was associated with the defendant. Who are we talking about?
It would be Taylor Shabusiness.
And did you then travel out to the 2353 Eastman Avenue address?
Yes.
What did you do upon arrival there?
Well, there were Brown County deputies that had discovered the van, and they had kept the van under surveillance until they were receiving further instructions on what to do with the van. So myself and other Green Bay officers arrived on the scene and took over surveillance of the van and the apartment building until we received further instructions.
What did your surveillance entail?
Well, we just watched the area where the van was parked at the apartment complex. After a short time, I spoke with a lieutenant that was working the case and asked him what he wanted us to do with the van. And they informed us that they didn't know at that point in the investigation whether Shabusiness was potentially another victim or a suspect or had the association, what association she had with the victim or what her role was in the incident. So they told us to approach the van and to try to make contact at the apartment with Taylor Shabusiness and see what we could ascertain from that investigation.
And what steps did you take to do that?
So myself and a couple of officers walked up towards the van. As we approached the van, we looked inside the windows just to see if there was anything, any people inside of it or any, we knew at that point they hadn't found the body of the victim yet. So we were seeing if there was a body in the van or anything that would be stick out as being obvious associated with this, the crime. As we were stepping next to the van, we were also looking on the ground for footprints leading from the van. I happened to be on the passenger side. I did not see any footprints in the snow at that point from the, you know, right outside the van. Then while we were standing next to the van doors unlocked. We heard them unlock. And then the parking lights flashed, which is an indicator that somebody is using a key fob to unlock the van.
At that point, what did you do?
The officers looked at each other, kind of thought, well, somebody just unlocked this van. A couple of seconds later, Taylor Shabusiness walked out the front door. It's a The apartment complex is, it's got a main door that's shared with the apartments inside. She walked out of the main door of the apartment complex. I recognized her immediately because I already looked up her picture. So I recognized her and I immediately started approaching her along with other officers. I told her to keep her hands out of her pockets, and another officer put handcuffs on her and placed her under arrest. She had a warrant at that time. Excuse me. She had a warrant at that time, and we knew about the warrant, so okay. They placed her under arrest for the warrant.
Thank you. Did you make any specific observations of Ms. Shabusiness's person when you approached her?
I did not specifically, but I heard officers talking that she had blood
Objection,
on her.
Objection, hearsay. Move to strike.
That's fine.
Okay. I'll sustain the objection. The answer is stricken to the extent that he got it out. So go ahead.
Were you able to observe Ms. Shabusiness's face when you approached her?
Yes.
And how did her face appear?
She appeared to be in shock or very surprised to see us. I equate it to a deer in the headlights kind of look or a child caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
And you indicated that officers then placed her under arrest, is that correct?
Yes.
Were you present when that happened?
Yes.
And were officers giving commands to Ms. Shabusiness?
Yes.
And was she responding to those commands?
Yeah, she was complying with their commands.
Did she appear to understand what officers were saying?
Yes.
Did she appear to have any difficulty or trouble communicating with officers or following commands?
No.
After Ms. Shabusiness was placed under arrest, what did you do?
I then asked what apartment she came from the officers. They informed me that it was apartment one. I immediately went inside the apartment building. We knew that we had to secure the apartment that she was in. Ms. Shabusiness had blood on her hands when she was arrested, so we knew at that point that there was she was obviously involved in the incident, in the homicide. So we had to secure that apartment for maybe other victims or other suspects or evidence that would be inside that apartment. So we secured the apartment. I approached the apartment door and pulled out my handgun and held the door. The door was ajar at apartment one, and I had other officers come in. We were gonna make entry into the apartment to secure it for any other suspects that might be inside for officer safety.
Did you make contact with any individuals when you arrived at apartment number one?
Yes, the registered owner of the vehicle, Mr. Thomes, he opened up the door to apartment one before we went inside or did anything. He walked out into the lobby area of the apartment building, the main corridor. I gave him instructions to lay down on the ground, put his hands out at his side. He followed those instructions. He was handcuffed by another officer for officer safety, and he was removed from the hallway so that we could enter the apartment.
Did you do an initial sweep of the apartment for officer safety?
Yes, we did.
And again, the purpose of that was merely to sort of secure it then and maintain it for future evidence collection?
Yes, it was to check for suspects that might be hiding in the apartment, as also to look for victims, and then to just secure the apartment. So we were only looking for people at that point.
On that initial sweep, did you notice anything in plain view?
No, I did not.
Did you notice anything else as you were leaving the apartment?
When I was leaving the apartment, I did notice on the floor in the main area where approximately where Mr. Thomes was laying down at when I had commanded him to lay down on the ground, I did see a tissue that had looked like to be blood on it and a cigarette. And I pointed those out to Sergeant Schilling, stayed on scene. I pointed those items out to Sergeant Schilling so that he could let the detectives know that those items were there and whether they wanted to collect them as evidence or not.
And after leaving the apartment, what did you do?
So then I walked out of the apartment and I was informed that there was footprints and possibly a few drops of blood in the snow outside leading up to the apartment building. I then had Officer Whitman, who was on the scene, secure that area with crime scene tape so that it would be preserved for when detectives would come later.
No further questions.
Cross-examination, Mr. Freilich.
Thank you. Lieutenant Buckman, good morning.
Good morning.
Couple questions for you, sir. So on February 23rd of 2022, you were asked to go to the 2300 block of Eastman Avenue?
Yes.
Did you get a call from, like, at home or what?
Well, they called me at home to report into work. I reported into work and then was instructed by the lieutenant that was at the desk, at the shift commander's desk, to go out to 2300 block of Eastman.
What time did you report into work, do you know?
I think it was like 4:42 in the morning.
Okay. Was that kind of like your normal shift, or is that...
No, I would have started at 6 a.m. They called me in early because of the incident.
Okay. What time did you get to the 2300 block of Eastman Avenue? Approximately.
Maybe 10 minutes later.
And you took your own squad car?
Yeah, I took a squad car that was available.
When you got to the apartment complex, did you park near Officer Garth Russell's squad?
I parked at the east end of the complex. I don't remember if I was next to Officer, I might have been next to Officer Russell and Officer Cups. I don't remember exactly who was all next to me. And I think it might have changed at different times depending on where we were stationed on the parking lot.
You had to walk up, correct?
Yeah, we parked our vehicles further away and we walked up on foot.
What's the purpose of parking farther away?
When you approach in the car, you, it's easier to see a car approaching than it is a person on foot. And so you want to have that kind of surprise or stealth to be able to walk up on something. If you don't know what you're approaching, we just had a homicide. So we're obviously concerned about people that might be involved in that homicide in the area. We want to approach on foot. You can hear things better if you approach on foot. You can hear, you don't have the car engine noise and the radio from the inside the squad car and whatnot making additional noise that you can't, you won't be able to hear what's going on around you.
And parking back like that, is it true that then you can kind of see the big picture as you walk up to a scene?
Sure.
Okay. You had learned that there was an apparent homicide, correct?
Yes.
And was it true that you were told to try to make contact with Taylor D. Shabusiness?
Yes.
Who told you that?
Lieutenant Bagoon.
Okay. And so you looked up a picture of her to see what she looked like, correct?
Yes. I knew that I knew her face already because when I was going out to the area, they informed me that Taylor Shabusiness had some sort of relationship with the victim. And so we were going out there because this minivan was associated with Taylor Shabusiness. I didn't know all the details of the homicide because I never went to the scene there. I was just told that this van had an association with Taylor Shabusiness. So when I'm going out there to determine what's going on with Taylor Shabusiness, I wanted to know what she looked like before I got there.
Okay, thank you. Fair to say you'd never met her before, correct?
I don't believe I've ever met her before.
And when you drove to the Eastman Avenue apartment complex, you walked up. Did you see the gold Chrysler minivan parked?
Yes.
Where did you see it parked? In relation to, like, the front door.
So... if you go straight out the front door, if you're coming out the door of the apartment building, a few spaces to the right.
Okay.
So not far from the front of the apartment building.
Okay. And is it fair to say that there was a long line of vehicles that were parked in front of the complex? Is that fair?
There are several. Yeah, there are several vehicles parked there.
And were there vehicles parked on either side of the minivan?
I know there was a vehicle parked on the right. I don't remember if there was one parked on the left or not. I think there was, but parked on the, if you're driving into the spot, the passenger side, because it was pulled forward like you normally would pull into a spot. And then on the passenger side was the side that I approached. And that, I remember there being another vehicle there.
Okay. When you approached on the passenger side, did you have a flashlight where you looked in the vehicle?
Yeah, briefly.
Did you see anything that was unusual or concerning?
No, I didn't see anything that would spark my attention.
Okay. And when you were approaching the Eastman Avenue apartment complex, was it true that you didn't know, that it was unknown, whether Ms. Shabizis was a suspect or victim? Is that fair?
Right, we didn't know.
But you and other investigating officers were told to be on the lookout for this van, correct?
Yes.
And you found it. You found it parked, correct?
I didn't find it parked. Brown County deputies found it parked.
You were told that this is the van that's a concern?
I was told that this was a van associated with Mr. Business.
Okay. Did you later come to find out that the van was owned by Scott Tomes?
Yes, I knew that when we approached it.
Officer Russell was dealing with Ms. Shabizis, correct?
Correct.
And your task was to focus on whoever else was inside of apartment one, correct?
That's correct.
And you drew your duty weapon, correct?
Yes.
And then you walked down the hall?
Yeah, it's a very short hall. To the front of the apartment.
And you ordered Mr. Tomes, Scott Tomes, to get on the ground?
Yes.
And he complied?
Yes.
Did he get a little feisty with you where he was throwing chairs and wondering or yelling, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, he didn't really understand what was going on, but he did comply with my orders.
And at least at this point, your investigation was not far enough into it where you could understand what role any of these parties had, correct?
That's correct.
As it relates to the homicide, correct?
That's correct.
And Officer Russell was there, Officer Fisher was there, you were there, is that true?
Yes.
Officer Cups, and Officer Whitman was also there, right?
That's correct.
Officer Fisher was the one that handcuffed Scott Tomes, correct?
I believe so, yes.
And you did a safety sweep of the apartment, correct?
Correct.
The apartment one, right?
Yes.
And fair to say that you did not see anything in plain view that would be associated with a homicide?
That is correct.
You didn't see any large pools of blood, bloody knives, or body parts in the apartment, correct?
I did not see any of those things inside the apartment in plain view.
Okay. And then as you were leaving the apartment, when Mr. Tomes was on the floor outside the apartment, there was a small towel-like item, correct?
Yeah, he was no longer on the floor. It's the approximate spot where he was on the floor.
Okay. But it was by him?
It was by where he was.
Okay. Ms. Shabizis got taken away before Mr. Tomes was exited out of the apartment complex. Is that fair?
I don't know if she was taken away. When I separated from, Officer Russell put her in custody, put her in handcuffs, and then I entered the apartment building. I did not see Ms. Shabizis after that. So I don't know at what point they left. I don't know if she was in the back of a squad car, if she'd left the scene, or...
And then after this, you brought Mr. Tomes to a squad car, correct?
I did not.
A different officer did?
Yeah, an officer did.
Okay. Was it Officer Fisher?
I don't know.
Then
I was inside the apartment clearing the apartment, so okay. What happened outside the apartment, I'm not sure.
Okay, fair enough. After that, then, did you go check around the apartment complex?
Yes, I did.
You checked the dumpsters?
Yep.
And you checked the parking lot for any indication of evidence?
Yes.
Did you find anything?
I did not.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Any redirect? Okay, thank you, officer.
You can sit down.
Counsel, I think we're going to break for lunch. It's 11:45. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our lunch break right now, and I'd ask that you be back in the jury room at 1 o'clock, so about an hour and 15 minutes for lunch, and we'll get underway promptly at 1 o'clock. All rise for the jury.
You're listening to True Crime Today in the Hidden Killers podcast, continuous coverage of the trial of Taylor Shabusiness, Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage.
More raw trial audio next.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.